Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for our message is a gospel lesson, Jesus' conversation about being the good shepherd. Well, today is Confirmation Sunday, and we are going to do that in our second service. But I think it's good on this day to pause and think about confirmation and what it means, and what your confirmation meant to you, and what it means for those getting confirmed today. And so I'd like to ask you, what is confirmation? It's a question that I start every year with my class with, asking, what is confirmation? And I do that because I think there's a little confusion about what confirmation truly means. And I think that's because we like to celebrate beginnings and endings. And so we normally kind of think of things in those terms. Well, is confirmation a beginning or an ending? You know, we like to celebrate beginnings. We like to celebrate birthdays. We celebrate weddings. The inauguration of a president is a big celebration. The opening day of the baseball season is a celebration. We like to celebrate beginnings. So is confirmation a beginning? Well, that doesn't really fit, does it? Because by the time we're confirmed, we already have been brought into the faith. We've already understood a little bit about who Jesus is. But is it an ending? We like to celebrate endings, right? When someone retires, we give a party or a celebration. At the end of the season for baseball, football, whatever it is, we celebrate the champions. Graduation is a celebration of completing a task. And as a result, many think of confirmation as an ending. But isn't that even worse? That somehow we've completed it? That can't quite be right. Because do we ever graduate from learning about our faith? Isn't it kind of something in between? And we think about it. We don't just celebrate beginnings and endings. We celebrate milestones. Do we not? Important things within our life. We think about birthdays. They're important milestones and birthdays. 13, 16, 21. And most of us want to stop after that, worried about celebrating milestones. Weddings, right? We celebrate the 25th, the 50th. Those have special meaning. Well, isn't confirmation a milestone? A point along the way in the Christian life. Isn't that what we are celebrating today? And isn't it proper for us at times to take stock of our milestones in life and our milestones within the faith? In the words of our Lord, as he speaks to the Pharisees, help us with that. Because as Jesus answers the Pharisees, he describes what it means to be a child of God, to belong to the flock of the Good Shepherd. And so that's where our focus is going to be. Now, this wonderful picture that our Lord gives of what it means to be a sheep, what it means for us now, in this moment in our life, and what it means for us as we go forward. So as we come to the text to say, we see that Jesus is challenged once again by the Pharisees. They demand Jesus to tell them, when are you going to tell us plainly? Are you the Messiah or are you not? It's rather striking that they would ask that, because Jesus made that clear. And isn't that what Jesus says to them? He says, my words, my actions, they all speak to this. And if you listen carefully to what Jesus says and you follow what he does, very clearly he claims to be the Messiah. He claims to be the promised Savior, the one who was sent. The reason the Pharisees haven't understood this is because they weren't really listening. They really didn't hear what our Lord had to say or understand what it was. But then Jesus speaks about who the sheep are that are part of his flock and what it means to be part of the flock of the Lord. And he says that when he says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Again, Jesus uses an opportunity to describe where we are in our life with the Lord. That those belong to him know him. You know the Lord, do you not? But how do you know him? Is it not because he became one of us, that he made himself known to you? How would you know the Lord unless the Lord came to you and made clear who he was? And that's precisely what the Lord does. He reveals who he is to those who belong to him. Or he reveals who he is to those so that they can become belong to him. He reveals to them that he is their Savior. But if he's going to do that, he also has to reveal to them their need for a Savior. They need to be saved from sin. He has to reveal not only about himself, He has to reveal to you and to me what we are by nature, that we are sinful and unclean and that we need to be saved. And isn't this exactly where the Pharisees fail? The Pharisees fail to see Jesus as he claims to be because they don't want to admit that they're ones who need him as he is. They don't want to admit that they need a Savior, that they are sinful. They think they've taken care of it on their own. Because it's only in realizing who Jesus is and the need for him that one is able to follow him. And that's what we celebrate on Confirmation Day, is it not? We celebrate these confirmants who have listened to the voice. We rejoice over the fact that their parents and their family, their friends have brought them to Sunday school, to church, to baptism, so that the Lord can make himself known to them. And so that they could know their own sinful condition, so that they could know their need for a Savior, and so that they could listen to him. Because that's the way it is for you and for me. The Lord has come and made known himself to you. He has made known to you your need for him. He's made known to you your sinfulness, which isn't that hard to do, is it? You know the pain of sin, pain of your own sin, the pain of your own decision, your own mistakes, the things that have gone awry. Haven't you also know the pain of those around you and their sinfulness? Maybe by the words that they have said to you or the things that they have done to you. Don't you know the pain of sinfulness of people around and the effect that it has on your life? Don't you know the pain of living in a world that is lost and afflicted by sin? Do you not know the pain that comes with illness, with sickness, with loss, and with the rest? Because you live in a world that is full of that. You know the need for your Savior, that the Lord has made it clear to you that you need a Savior. But he's also made it clear to you that he is your Savior. He is your Good Shepherd. And isn't that the joy of that image of a shepherd, that he is your shepherd? When we look up at that beautiful picture window of Jesus as our shepherd, he's holding a sheep. Who's he holding? Is he not holding you? Isn't that what we are to see and to recognize? That you are being held in the hands of a shepherd who loves you? A shepherd who died for you? Who died for your sin and rose to bring healing to the pain? To bring healing to the pain of your own sin by bringing you forgiveness? To bring healing to the pain of the world and the world around you and the people around you by giving you comfort, by giving you strength, and by giving you help? Your Lord has made himself known, and isn't that why you follow? Isn't that why you're here? The Lord has made known to you your need, and he has made known to you that he is the good shepherd that satisfied that need, so that you are not in want, but you have a good shepherd to lead you through to green pastures, to still waters, and to all the rest. What a joy it is to be in God's flock now. But not only does our Lord speak about what it means to be in the flock now, but he gives to us a picture of what it means to be in the flock going forward. Jesus gives a promise as he says, I give to them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What a wonderful, beautiful promise that he gives eternal life and they will never perish. That picture that we saw John put on display in the epistle lesson is a picture that is promised for you and for me. That the Lord will make sure that you and I will not perish, but will have eternal life. That we will see the vision that he saw, the Lord sitting on the throne, gathered together with others, praising God in a wonderful and beautiful way. But how will we attain that? How do we know? The Lord tells us that no one will snatch them out of my hand. He's not going to let you go. He will protect you. But again, that still begs the question, how does he offer his protection? He offers his protection by the same way that he's made himself known, through his word and through his sacrament. He made himself known to you in his word, in the proclamation of the gospel, in the baptism as he claimed you as his own. And he promises to keep you in his hands through that very same word and through the sacrament as he gives of himself of his body and blood to you. There he offers you protection. There he keeps you in the palm of his hand. There he provides that which you need, the healing that you need for the sin of the world, That the strength that you need to face the day, the comfort that you need in your time of loss and of difficulty, the joy that you need, and then all that he provides for you, our Lord has made a promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that he will hold you in the palm of his hand, and that you will receive that wonderful gift of eternal life. And isn't that the beauty of being part of God's flock? He will never let you go. He will continue to lead you and to guide you, to be with you and to bless you until you reach the goal that the Lord has for you, the goal of eternal life, the goal of eternity with him in his presence forever, where there is no sin, where there is no, the tears are wiped away, where there's simply the joy of his love for him. Again, properly understood, confirmation is a milestone. But the beauty of milestones is that they look back, they rejoice in the present, and they look forward. At our every moment in our life, we can look back and give thanks through the way that the Lord has made himself known through his word, through his sacrament, through our family and friends who have encouraged us in a faith. We can rejoice with the faith that we possess today. And we look forward to the future. Because whatever the world has in store for us, the Lord is there, holding us up, holding us close to himself. And we look forward because we know that our future includes our Lord and it includes eternity with him and all the saints who go before us. Today, we indeed rejoice over what God has done, continues to do, and will continue to do in our lives. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guide our hearts and minds to true faith, to life everlasting. Amen.